player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron from South Bend to Arrowhead. From football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program. Tim Grunhard is presented by CBD American Shaman. Do you know what the benefits of CBD are? Stop in at one of the 40-plus CBD American Shaman locations and see how CBD can bring balance to your body and mind. CBDAmericanShaman.com.
Hour number two of the program begins right now. Tim Grunhard, Football Insider, joins us here. Timmy, how are you?
Well, I know our friends at CBD American Shaman are selling the hell out of the water solubles for anxiety this week. I don't know how many people have asked me about, is Patrick Mahomes going to play? I do not know. I'm hoping he's going to play. But, you know, people come up to you like you have some inside information. They probably do that to you guys,
well,
too. I mean,
it's funny. I was just going to say, I do not know why anyone would be asking you.
Yeah, well, I don't know either. Because
or me, for that matter.
I have no idea why they ask me. But they think, well, you played for the Chiefs, so don't they call you with all the updates?
Yeah, right. There's a mass email to everyone who's ever played for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Especially me. Listen, I there's a couple different times when I had the great opportunity to go on the planes with the team and do that kind of stuff because of the ambassador. But the PR people, the first thing they said is, now, remember, you can't talk about the stuff you see and do here on the radio. And I'm like, oh, okay. So the last person they're going to tell is me because I am on the radio. But, yeah, I don't know about whether Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I think he's going to play. But, yeah, our friends at CBD American Shaman are having a great week as the anti-anxiety water solubles are flying off the shelf as Kansas City sits on pins and needles to wait to hear the news on Patrick Mahomes.
Well, according to Adam Schefter, he's passed the first couple of stages. He's going to be on the practice field Wednesday.
Which means that doesn't mean he's going to practice. Because I like what you said. There's certain things that he has to do. Now, I've seen it in college, and I've seen it in high school, and I haven't seen what the pros do, but it's probably pretty similar. He's got to do some light running and stretching and do all kinds of like different things like that, non-football.
He's apparently past that if he's – because I looked it up, and so this is from the NFL site, which is for some reason they have the return to protocol. Like, here it is, and then it, like, cuts itself off.
Did they have people over in his backyard on Sunday night, like, stretching him out and running him around the backyard or something?
I don't know, but they had the return to participation protocol, but then, like, they cut off part of the writing. Right on the NFL.com page. I love it.
It's a cover up.
Phase three, football specific exercise. So he would have passed phase one and two, which is aerobic exercise, symptom limited activity. You know, be done with symptoms, aerobic exercise. Now phase three, the player continues with supervised cardiovascular exercises that are increased and may something sports, because then it cuts off, sports-specific activities and supervised strength training is introduced. The player is allowed to practice with the team in sports-specific exercise for 30 minutes or less with ongoing careful monitoring.
Which means he can do individual period.
Right, so maybe, you know, maybe that's what he's going to do, right. Or maybe they've done that, right? Maybe they've checked that one off, because here's phase four, called club-based non-contact training drills. The player continues cardiovascular strength and balance training, team-based sports-specific exercise, and participates in non-contact football activities. Example, throwing, catching, running, and other position-specific activities. Neurocognitive and balance testing should be completed no later than the end of phase four, with the results interpreted as back to baseline.
Yeah, I would think, and I don't know, I'm just guessing, that stage four would be on Thursday
right.
Is when they would do that. I mean, there's no reason to rush him back in. Listen, I'm more worried about the foot than the head. I really am. I really am. Don't think I'm being callous here. I'm always concerned about neurological problems and hits and a lot of friends. In fact, my mentor passed away basically from these issues with
Mike Webster.
Yeah. With CTE, I was going to say CBD. I have CBD. With CBD, with CTE, Mike Webster. So I'm very, very sensitive to that. But the foot looked like that really caused a lot of the issues that he was having, I think, before he got hurt. He was not stepping into his throws. He was limping around a lot. He just, he's just so talented and has such a strong arm that he can make a lot of the throws without having great fundamental and techniques that most quarterbacks need in order to deliver the ball and spin the ball to the wide receiver. He doesn't particularly need that, but it looked like he was a little bit gimpy walking around. And listen, I've lived in that world with people stepping on your foot. And I'm not sure if I don't know if he was stepped on or whether he planted it wrong and kind of like knocked it kind of out of joint, which is what a turf toe is. A turf right. toe is not when you get stepped on. A turf toe is when
you dislocate
the basically the joint just above the big toe is usually where it's at. And that is a very, very painful, painful, painful injury.
That's what I think he has, don't you?
I do too. People say you stepped on. Here's the thing about being stepped on, and I was stepped on all the time. See Will Shields. Will stepped on my foot all the time because he was so athletic and quick. You're exactly right that he would step on me all the time. My foot would be planted. He'd be like doing, you know, these just chop steps into his pass set, which were Hall of Fame type of stuff. But he'd always step on my foot. And when your foot stepped on, and I'm sure some people out there, you've been stepped on or whatever, it hurts, and it hurts really, really bad, but then it goes away. It's like, you know, when the only thing I could compare it to is when you're pounding a nail and you hit your thumb, and you're like, oh it hurts, yeah. And then, basically goes away after a little bit. You're still sore, but you can be productive.
It seemed as he was going up until the injury that it got, the limping was worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Allow me to put on my Chiefs fan Pollyanna hat for a moment. Is there any plus that the fact that he had a quarter and a half where he wasn't running on it? I mean, that if the head is okay, maybe missing that the rest of that game adds any likelihood that the injury will be less severe?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So if there is
Tim Grunhard, the doctor notes.
Yes, if there is a silver lining, here's the doctor. Shoot it up, because you can shoot it up. It's a long way from your heart. You'll be all right. Shoot it up. It take. Sorry, he won't feel it. It'll hurt like a sucker at the end of the game, about 2 hours later. But go ahead and shoot it up. I'm not joking. Shoot it up, because that's what most people do with turf toes. But. No, so yeah, I mean, the swelling, and if you keep pounding on it, and when you're running on it and pushing on it and all that kind of stuff, it just aggravates it and it causes more swelling, and the swelling is what you need to get out of turf toe. So yeah, you could tape it up, and there's other ways of taking care of it. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to get better anytime soon if it's a turf toe. Turf toe, it takes a while to get rid of turf toe, and I'm talking weeks, so...
Let me come back to what phase five is, okay. Right? So the fifth one on just on the clearance. So he's either in phase three or four if he's out on the practice field tomorrow. Probably I'm with you, Tim. Like they would have had to have created some off day football activities for him to get through phase three. Mm-hmm. So I assume best guess it's phase three, then phase four on Thursday, and phase five upon clearance. By the way, I did find they have a link to where you can see the whole chart and not have the edge cut off. Why it's not on that main page, I don't know. But upon clearance by the club physician for full football activity involving contact, the player must be examined by the independent neurological consultant assigned to his club. If the independent neurological consultant concurs with the club physician that the player's concussion has resolved, he may participate in his club's next practice or game.
And therein lies the difference between when I played and now. There was no... independent doctor that kind of popped in and said, hey, hi, I'm the independent doctor. You got to pass through me in order to play. Now you basically saw the team doctor, and not to say that they weren't concerned about your health, but they were probably a little bit more liberal with letting you go out and play. And head trauma and concussions and neurological things just weren't dealt with the way they are now. So, but to answer your question, speed it up. So what happened is, and this is just my best guess, okay, that's why you bring me on here. I'm guessing just from my experience, and I've seen people go through this. He went in on Monday, went and saw the docs, you know, probably did some tests, probably did the computer test, the whatever they call that test now. They have a test that you go on a computer, and they have your baseline, and then you take it again, And I know somebody's going to text me and tell me what it is. I don't really care, but that's just that test. So they're going to do that test, and then they're going to, you know, they're going to go through some stretching. He'll probably do a little bit of jogging. And this is all if he's, you know, kind of all there, which I think he was on a Monday. Today on Tuesday, he probably went out and did some more running, probably did some cardiovascular things, got on the bike, went over, maybe pushed some weights around a little bit just to see how he reacted, because that's you want to get the blood pressure kind of up. You know, you want to get the blood flowing again, the blood pressure up. You want to get the adrenaline going, because that's when it'll kick in. If you have a major issue, your head will let you know at that point that, man, I got a horrible headache. I have blurred vision and all that kind of stuff, just because the circulation is starting to go again. And that's when you kind of, that rears its ugly head, whether you really have a major, major issue that you're going to have to sit out the whole week or maybe a couple more days, or you're okay. So that's probably what they're looking at today.
Let's go back to the Cleveland Browns game.
Sure.
The play that all of Cleveland, and now apparently I heard the zone guys, I haven't watched the ESPN afternoon lineup for, well, I do. I click around, but I usually go to SportsCenter because I just want to see if there's any news. I don't watch the talking head shows as much. And they were saying that, you know, the theme was, it seemed like Jason was a little upset, that the theme was that they are saying, you know, if they make the right call, helmet to helmet, on the fumble, then it's Brown's ball and they score.
Hmm.
And Jason said, well, first of all, the penalty is going to put it at the 13, right? It's like it's not going to be at mm-hmm. the 1.
Right.
It's good a yardage point. Penalty. So they're at the 13, and so they don't automatically just score a touchdown, mm-hmm. which is a good point. I want to ask this. Like, why is everyone so convinced that that was a helmet-to-helmet? Like, do the helmets touch? Yes. Is it the first thing?
No.
Yes, it is. But is it just microseconds ahead of the shoulder, which is what he's throwing? Like, sometimes I think the calls that get made off of slow motion, that's not a call that should be made off slow motion.
Yeah, you know, Dan's effort on that play was amazing.
Phenomenal.
And what are you supposed to do? Are you going to think, well, okay, I am not going to try to make a play here because the only thing that I could possibly make connection with first would be my helmet, so I better not try to make this play. That's never going to run through your mind. And then what's the other option? You throw your arms in out there first, like Superman. You're diving like, you know, like you're flying in the air with your hands out in front of you. That guy's going to run right through your arms. He's going to score. So I think what he was trying to do is trying to lead, and I'm not just saying this because he's a Kansas City Chief. If this was the other way around, I'd say the same thing too. That is a football play, all right? Is it illegal? To the letter of the law, it is illegal. But and people think that that's is easy black and white because that was for the game. And he had to do something to try with extra effort and just pure toughness trying to make a play on that goal line. And I think he was trying to lead with his shoulder, but his head got there first. Maybe because of the speed of the wide receiver, maybe because right. of the way he was diving. I mean, just the angle and the geometry of that play, there was no other thing that could hit first. It wasn't like he was doing it maliciously. It wasn't look like he was doing that to cause injury. It was a football play in a matter of a second to win a football game. And you can't hold a guy to that. That is football. That is the game of football. It is not a soft game. There is injuries. You're trying to eliminate injuries. You're trying to eliminate neurological injuries. You're trying to eliminate concussions. You want to take away those ESPN hits. You know I'm talking about the ESPN hits. That was the big thing. That's what screwed up football, is everybody's trying to get on ESPN by trying to make these big hits, these big illegal nasty hits, so they could stand over a guy and show how tough they were. That's what caused a lot of the issues they have right now.
Ideally, he hits him with his right shoulder. He's just a half second late. That's where he's
even
he's,
if it's
moved,
a half second.
He's moved 6 inches. That's where his head is.
Absolutely. I mean, how do you stop yourself from, unless you don't try to make the play? I mean, I that's what I don't get on that play. Is he not supposed to try to make the play?
Yeah.
So he's in his mind saying, I can't make this play because my helmet may hit his helmet first. I mean, that is never going to go through anybody's mind. Now, to the letter of the law, Seren, it is illegal. But there is.
Well,
I mean,
but
this...
I want to read the rule to you.
Okay.
Right here. Here's the rule. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you could drive a truck through that.
Absolutely.
Okay. But did he lower his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet?
Because if that was true, then Kareem Hunt should have had like three of those.
Yes. They never call the running back ones.
He ducked
Kareem
his
Hunt
head.
Absolutely
and,
does.
And you know what? He's going to hurt himself. I mean, there was a couple times when I was cringing watching him trying to make contact down the field with linebackers and safeties by ducking his head. The one when he hit Tyrann Mathieu with his head down, I mean, those are the paralyzing, those are the concussion-causing hits. When he had his head between his legs, basically, on contact. I mean, what are they going to call those? So don't give me that crap about a guy trying to make a play on the goal line when the running back is trying to make contact with a guy down the field, purposely lowering his head. And it's the same thing, and I'm an offensive guy. It's the same thing with the face mask and the stiff arms. They're letting those guys get away with now where guys, the running backs, are getting their hands up in a face mask and pushing the guy back with his hand on a stiff arm and basically taking the guy's helmet off, and that's not a penalty. But yet, a defensive guy just touches the face mask of anybody, and the flag comes flying out. So, I mean, there's got to be, listen, there's never going to be perfect. You've got to let these guys play, but you also have to make sure that they're respecting each other, respecting the game, and not trying to hurt one another purposely. But you're going to get hurt in football. That is the nature of the beast. See me walking down the damn street.
I've always said, listen, this is an impossible rule to have in the NFL because your head is in front. Okay? Yeah. Unless somebody's got their head in their ass,
that's right,
it's going to be the first thing that arrives.
You know what? And the old adage, Sarandon, I hate to cut you off, but the old adage was, and we'd say, I know I don't, you see what you hit and hit what you see.
Right.
So if your head is up, and your face mask is out, and you hit with your face mask, and your eyes are up, and your neck is in a good position where your neck is bowed, and you can see what you hit, and you hit what you see, you're not lowering your head, that is a textbook tackle. Well, that's gone now. So now you got to lead with your shoulder, but it's so hard to do that. It's so hard to take your head out and tackle somebody.
To which, had he led head up, then it would have been his arm that was hitting him. Because Higgins was just getting there first. And so instead, by trying to get his shoulder out in front to be part of the rule, that's what created the helmet to helmet. Listen, they didn't. Can we point out that there were officials on the field and they didn't call it?
Yes.
Okay, so
absolutely.
Let's back up. This wasn't like they took a vote and decided no. They had guys out there with flags watching the play, and they didn't call it. So I hate this like, they totally missed it. No, they didn't miss it. They saw it, and they don't think it was a penalty. And the reason it's not a penalty is because this is not a penalty. Like, instant replay and slow-mo technology is a wonderful thing. But for this foul, it should not be used. Because if you have to slow it down to see if the helmet got there first or not, then it's too close. It should not be judged based upon one frame. The helmet gets there one frame before, because as far as impact goes, as far as physics go, the shoulder and the helmet were hitting simultaneously.
I don't know if you heard this, Ren, but I was in the stadium and I heard it. I don't know if you can hear it on TV, but there was a review. And by the way, people were saying, well, they should review this. No, stop. If you're reviewing all these plays, you're going to ruin the game. If you're going to have to review a play or two every darn series, it's going to slow everything down. And once again, they're trying to speed it up. They're trying to keep people interested in the game. See baseball. So I forget if it was Tyreek Hill's catch when Cleveland – I think it was. It was Tyreek Hill's catch that was obviously
Cleveland
a catch. And
it.
Cleveland challenged it, which I turned into a Cleveland fan. I was kind of being a jerk. I'm like, dude, you just blew a timeout there. That's the stupidest challenge I've ever seen. And he kind of ignored me, which was fine. But at the end of that, when the
guy was 130 pounds and thought you were going to kill him.
But with the white hat, after he was done doing all of his thing, he forgot to turn off his mic. And he went over and went into the offensive huddle. He said, hey, sorry I had to do that, guys. Because he slowed the game down. I mean, those guys, they understand that too. Anybody out there heard that, he forgot to turn his mic off, and he goes, "Hey man, sorry about that, guys." And he was saying that that was a stupid deal. You slowed down your momentum. Everything kind of slowed down, and I'm sorry we had to go through that. And, you know, but that's just the nature of the beast. So, you know, if you want to get to that point where you're going to review every tackle, I'm going to throw a flag because I think that that was helmet to helmet. You know, you could do that with a running back. You should do it with a running back. You can do it with tackles. You could do it with offensive linemen blocking in the middle. You could throw a flag and challenge anything and probably find it. Because there's always going to be helmet to helmet, as long as it's not malicious and completely, you know, just obnoxious, then you got to let the guys play.
Yeah, no, that one just, I mean, to me, I don't think anybody takes the time to understand. It's like non-football people when you just immediately say that that's helmet to helmet. Like if you're a Browns fan, hey, you're just rooting for your team. I'm fine with that. But it's when people that are supposed to be unbiased, you know, create that hokey thing and then say, and then add on,
yeah,
then the Browns would have won.
And this is the other thing. And now it's a big conspiracy now. We're in the New England Patriot type of deal where they want the Chiefs to be in it. Just like everybody used to say, they want New England to be in it. They want the Chiefs to be in it. So they're going to give them every call because they want Patrick Mahomes, who's the face of the NFL, in the Super Bowl. Well, if that's true, I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I never got that. The only year we were close is we got a bunch some stuff with Joe Montana, but that didn't quite work out.
No. This is the new reality. Getting used to it, Chiefs fans. It's a good thing.
Yes, it
means that you're really, really good. Let's take a break. More with Tim Grunhardt. He's brought to you by our friends at CBD American Shaman.
The program with Seren Petro.
What a dumbass.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Patrick Mahomes will be, I think, the youngest quarterback to start 3 conference championship games. Who is currently the youngest?
Is it Donovan McNabb?
Mm-mm.
Dan Marino.
How many did Aikman play in?
3.
Was it Aikman?
Nope.
Oh, no, Aikman played in at least 4.
Yeah. He played in 3 relatively quickly.
At one time in his career, he played in 3.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's just like, who was the youngest when they started their third?
Who was the youngest when they started their third?
Yeah, Curtis said he played 3, and I'm like, no, he played in more than 3.
Yeah.
The two guys who the top two guys currently on the list, because Mahomes hasn't actually played in this game yet, are separated by about 100 days.
Hmm.
They both did it before they turned 27.
Before Ben Roethlisberger.
He's second.
Okay. Tom Brady?
Nope. Ben was...
Is it an old-time guy?
Ben was 26 years, 10 months, 17 days. This guy is 21 years, 1 month, 21 days.
He was 21 years old?
I'm sorry, 26 years, 1 month, 21 days. He's about 9 months younger than Roethlisberger was when he started his third.
Wow. I don't know.
Didn't win any of them.
Get there that quick?
Didn't win any of them, huh?
Who'd you say, sir?
Kelly?
Favre?
Nope. Not Favre. Not Kelly. He was 0 for 3 in these games.
Kelly was in the USFL for 3 years before he got to the NFL.
Just throwing names out there now.
He's throwing names out of guys he knows started 3 championship games.
You're not doing much better.
I got one of them. I'm doing a lot better. I got Roethlisberger.
Won a national championship in college.
Quarterback championship in college.
I don't know.
Just
Tony Rice.
Just settle down.
I think he made it to the NFL, Tim.
Settle down for a second.
Oh, it was Peyton Jerry Manning. Rice.
Yeah. He was slightly better than the NFL.
Someone once described this quarterback scrambling as a giraffe on Quaaludes.
Did you throw out T. Martin?
Hey,
just for shoots and giggles, I threw out T. Martin because I said Peyton Manning. I'm like, wait a minute, he didn't win a championship. T. Martin was the one who won the championship for Tennessee. So I'm like, yeah, we'll throw out T. Martin.
It's funny you say guys would run around and look kind of like a draft on went to Quaaludes.
He said when he scrambles, he looks like a giraffe on Quaaludes.
We used to say that Elvis Gerbeck looked like Ichabod Crane. You know, just loping around with his pumpkin head in his hand.
Peyton Manning resembles that remark of a giraffe, you know,
nope,
running.
Not Peyton.
No, but who am I missing? I'm going through like Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart,
national champion
Vince Young,
Thiesman
lost to the same team all three times.
No, Thiesman won one. Huh? So no, but wasn't lost. Doug Williams won it when?
wasn't Doug Williams?
He lost in the same. Dan Pastorini.
Nope.
Vince Ferragamo
caught a ring at the end of his career. Took a knee at the end of a Super Bowl and caught a ring late in his career.
Bernie Kosar,
26 years, 51 days.
Yeah,
I nailed that. Yeah, you gotta give me that. That's a nailing right there. Is what that
you
is.
You nail
I
it.
That. You like that, Tim?
You know what? The
Browns, like that?
Browns connection. We should have known.
Berger and Bernie Kosar. Just
the new a new cop show on CBS.
Or
weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Or today's bridge matchup, Ben and Bernie will be over at table 6. That fits that as well. What were we playing for? Jazz, great Cajun food from Jazz and Louisiana Kitchen, whether it's the po' boys, the wonderful seafood dishes, the pastas, the voodoo pasta. Such a great menu at Jazz, always adding new things. All your favorites and all kinds of new items. It's at Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. Order it tonight. Go to jazzkitchen.com. 3 locations, Independence, by the Med Center, KU Med Center, and then out at the Legends. Go see them tonight. Grunny is with us. We're talking football here in the program. Let's assume Patrick Mahomes plays. Do you like the Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills?
You know, as soon as Buffalo obviously won and then the Chiefs won, I knew I was going to have to relive the AFC Championship game all week. My AFC Championship game that we got beat in Buffalo.
The failure?
Yeah, I knew I was going to, and I swear, it's like as soon as the game was over, literally within 15 or 20 minutes of ESPN, they had the Kimball Anders drop. They had the Chiefs playing a dime defense against Thurman Thomas.
You weren't playing the run defense that day, Timmy.
You know,
they didn't run for 240 on you.
Joe Montana step up in the pocket and get concussed, and I was worried that it was my guy, and it wasn't, because I couldn't remember if it was my guy or not. And I swear, when he stepped up and then he got a concussion, I was like, oh, please don't let him marry my guy. Yeah, it wasn't, but he being concussed in the third quarter. So listen, Josh Allen, he stepped it up this year. He's playing very, very well in the playoffs.
Is he still?
Well, I mean, you're right.
Baltimore. Would you call 10 points from offensive football?
Yeah.
Playing really well?
Well, you know, he just seems to be he makes plays. He makes plays. So, yeah, I said this last week, and I think people thought I was crazy. I was more worried about this game, the Cleveland game, than I was about whoever they played in the AFC Championship. Just some reason. I had this weird feeling about this game. I wasn't sure they were going to come out a little bit rusty. I wasn't sure if they were going to maybe overlook.
Do you think the game validated that feeling?
Yeah, it did. I you know, and maybe.
Oh, come on.
But hold on. Here's what I – maybe we're just getting a little bit spoiled here, because winning playoff games used to satisfy the appetite of the usual of the Kansas City Chiefs fan, and it wasn't really long ago when that would satisfy the appetite of the Chiefs fan. And I didn't come out of that game satisfied, did you? Did you feel like, man, that was great, I feel good about it? Here, let's go. I just didn't feel like, yeah, I was like, man, that's a great win. I'm glad they won. But I didn't feel like I was, like, you know.
I did come out satisfied, and I'll tell you why. And this is from the guy who has been predicting a big Chiefs rout for a long time and said of this Cleveland game, I believe the Chiefs are going to drop an atomic bomb in the face of the Cleveland Browns. And I think at 19-3 and even 19-10, they were well on their way. And when Mahomes went down, that changed it all. I think Mahomes was going to throw for at least one more touchdown, if not two more. And I think there was 10 more points minimum coming in that game. And you're looking at 32-17, 32-20, something along those lines. But maybe as much as 36 or 39 from the Chiefs in that game. And it's not close. Yeah. Don't out of the game. That sucked a little bit of life out of the Steve. Chad Henne did a great job of stepping in, but I Cleveland converted 3 fourth downs. And it wasn't like they were just cruising down the field. They were barely getting it done. 3 different fourth downs, and I think there was no guarantee that they were going to go score if they got the ball back. Even if the Chiefs had punted there, I still think they win. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going down against the Steve Spagnuolo defense when they know that it's not just about we don't want them to score, we can't let them score. I do not believe the Cleveland Browns would have scored had the Chiefs punted in that situation. Yeah, well, I still love that they went for it.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't
No way. No way was it going to happen. With no timeouts. And what were we down to on the clock, Curtis?
110. Would have been 110.
I think that's about right. Let me make sure exactly.
No. I think we were trying to figure it out. Yeah, it was between 1 minute and 110 is what they would have had.
At the time.
Yeah. No chance.
Yeah.
Even if they stop them on fourth, I don't think they're getting in.
Yeah, but you know, I know. And listen, maybe it's just because Patrick Mahomes got banged up in the game, and it's just like you walked out, and I just felt, oh, gosh.
Yeah. Snapped it at 114, so yeah. If they stop him, it's about 110.
Yep. I that's my reason for claiming victory on my prediction. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to say it was 5 points and they had to go for it on fourth down at the end of the game to win, you're well within your rights of saying, hey, that game, I thought it was going to be scary close, and it was.
And by the way,
I won't argue that, but I really think the Chiefs were definitively the better team, and the only thing that kept the Browns in that game was Mahomes going.
And it could be just me, because I was having flashbacks of the Indianapolis Colts game that whole game. I just was, and I don't know why, but I was. Missed field goals. It's just, you know, like, you know, struggling.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
the
Chiefs only scored, what, 3 points in the second half,
Post-divisional
right?
Post-divisional playoff stress disorder.
It is, I'm telling you. Hey, how many points did they score in the
three.
Second? 3 points in the second half. Yeah. We scored 0, okay? So,
and the Chiefs got a field goal.
Yeah, they scored. But
okay, yeah.
But it's funny because also, and I was talking to Curtis before, I said, hey, Curtis, look this up. And it wasn't exactly the same situation, but it felt like it to us or felt like it to me. We were third down and one at about the same spot. And, you know.
Punted.
No. Yeah. Third down and one was, okay, between Zott, you know, Grunhard, and Shields. Down, let's go. Let's continue. But Marty.
Fat ass got in the way.
No, Marty decided he was going to throw the ball in the same exact play. But Tony Richardson tripped up a little bit trying to get out, because he was in the backfield and not lined up in the hip position. But the same exact play with a little sprint out and a little bit of that little hook at about 2 yards.
T-Rich
really dropped
that. Same play.
It
you
was the
are
same
not
play.
Describing yeah. the same play.
And the ball was thrown at his ankles.
First of all, when you start with T-Rich versus Tyreek Hill, not the same play.
It's
when
the same the play, backfield, different personnel, you jackass. We didn't have Tyreek Hill, okay?
I know that
we had T-Rich.
That's why it's not the same play. And then you have
we
him
had
starting,
Bono. We had
then you have him instead of being
no, but it,
1 yard behind the line of scrimmage, you're starting him 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And instead of him being on the end of the line when the ball is snapped, you're putting him back over at the guard.
It was a sprint.
It's not the same play. It's
the play
a crap
was
play.
Called sprint right option, and that play was called sprint right option.
It's the play that Marty Schottenheimers of the world called to think they were being daring because it wasn't just a handoff. And Andy Reid's of the world looked at that and said,
listen,
what the hell are we
listen,
doing?
Listen, you could say all you want. It wasn't the same play. And you could say all you want to all about everything else. It felt like the same damn play to me. All right? And they were able to complete the play, and I had to watch T-Rich drop it. All right?
The throw wasn't exactly nails either.
No, it wasn't nails.
It threw it at right? his
There was nothing we did throwing the ball with nails. We had four interceptions in that game, I think.
I think I'm going to throw a crucial pass at the ankles of a fullback stumbling out of the backfield.
Hey, it was like missed field goal, interception, interception, yeah, missed field goal, interception, missed field goal.
After the touchdown, the Chiefs had seven possessions in that game. There was a punt, three missed field goals, and three interceptions.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's how you get post-dramatic playoff syndrome.
Well said. Well put.
Yeah. That's how you get it.
That's how you lead 7-0 and lose 10-7, right?
That's right.
Three picks and three missed field goals.
The traumatic experiences that I went through in playoff games.
But I'm a little shaky, okay?
Give me a break.
And, Tim, frankly, it wasn't your part, and it certainly wasn't you guys on the offensive line because it was a great offensive line. That's the difference between Steve Bono and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, there's
even
a
for
lot.
2.5 quarters, right? Is that, like, because guess what?
We were taking Chad Henne at that point, I think.
Well, listen, I said this yesterday. Butker missed a field goal and an extra point. I mean, it had all the makings of one of those Grenard painful losses. They got a guy to where you don't have to play a perfect game to beat a playoff team.
That's
which
right.
is what your teams had to do because they didn't have the quarterback.
See the Cleveland Browns.
It was having guys who can catch passes like Tyreek Hill and, bless his heart, former Golden Domer Lake Dawson, who didn't pull in the game-winning touchdown when he could have.
I forgot
The Chiefs
that.
Have guys who pull that pass in.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but see the Cleveland Browns. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, the arrow's pointing up on that organization and their guys, but they just don't have – I heard you guys talking about it yesterday. They just don't have the skill guys that can, you know – You know, when you're running with Chubbs and Hunt, everybody, you know, Browns fans are all, they're barking and everything else, but they're really getting 4 yards or 5 yards. Take it, and the clock's running. I know that world. I kept looking over, like, you know what, you're barking and all that howling and all that kind of stuff, but you just ran for 4 yards. That's what we do. We're Browns. That's what we do. And then Mahomes goes down and scores in like 30 seconds. That's what we do. Sorry.
Yeah, it's what we need to learn that when you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and you know you had a Tony Gonzalez, right? But you didn't have a Tyreek Hill. You didn't have a Patrick Mahomes.
No.
You didn't have an Andy Reid
calling
the plays. You don't have to be perfect.
No,
right? Yeah. That's the difference. You don't have to be perfect, like you know. The lesser teams do, and I'm not going to spend any time because we need to take a break here on the Browns, but everyone's saying, oh yeah, the arrow's pointing up. Okay, Baker Mayfield, it's time to give him an extension. So the freebies are over now. He'll be cheap again next year, like Mahomes is cheap this year, but he's due up for the contract extension, and they don't have it. There's no Tyreek Hill, there's no Travis Kelce, they don't have those weapons. They've got an expensive offensive line. And a couple of guys that they're going to have to pay on that side anyway. Myles Garrett is due up for, you know, they just paid him. So that's eaten into their cap room. I'd have to go back and look and see where their cap room is.
Where's all their money at?
But everybody, this is what happens every year. Whatever team's new to the playoffs and gets a win or has a good showing against a powerful team, everyone goes, oh, man, look out, here they come. Yeah, well, guess what? They got there probably because they've leveraged the cap. And now all of a sudden they're going to have to start paying some guys. And you're going to be like, oh, wow, geez.
Now, hold on. You know, I listened to your show yesterday, and I could have swore that you – who were you on with? It was a national guy.
Adam Schefter.
You said that the arrow was pointing up on Cleveland.
I do. No, I agree. But I'm calling myself to task as well with you. I'm not saying you're an idiot. I do think there's a lot because I think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback, right? But right now I think he's Alex Smith. Right? I don't think he's Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think he is Eli Manning. I don't think he is Drew Brees. I don't think he's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. You name all the quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl. Jared Goff? Yeah, okay. I'll be there. Is there some ceiling there where I think he might be one of those guys that can get one? I think more of the Brees, like get one, as opposed to the guy who's going to be like, oh, wow, that guy – played in 6 and 1-4, right? Like, which is what most people think is going to happen with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to play in many of them. I don't see that for Baker Mayfield, but I do think if they can get some weaponry out there for him, you know, he made some nice throws. So, yes, I think the arrow is pointing up on Cleveland. My point is just this, that, like, everyone wants to, you know, I'm trying to think of it. I've gone for like three terms that are not air worthy. celebrate Stefanski and how great it is and all this because he got to the divisional round of the playoffs.
Well, that organization's right? been in the crapper for a long time.
I know, but everybody, it's amazing how if you've like I talk about it. It's like, you know, cheering for little Johnny's poo. Right? Like when you've got a baby, oh, look, he made a poo.
They are the Browns.
Yay. Oh, Johnny's on the potty.
Hey, it's
Yay.
The and by the way, I just found out it's the Brownies. It's the Brownies.
Okay.
Let's go, Brownies. Let's go.
Oh, is that what you were hearing?
Let's go, Brownies.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
I don't have to hear that anymore.
My point is they're being viewed as toddlers, right? And now once you've done that, once you've made your poo, okay, once you've sat on the potty, then you're expected to be a big boy, all right? And so, you know, we don't Joe Biden's not going to be celebrated because he made a poo. Oh, well, actually, at his age, maybe he will.
Well done.
My point is,
it depends.
You know, we celebrate little things when you're a little kid, right? The Browns are a little kid in the playoffs. Oh, yay, right? You know,
when were we the little kids? When Alex Smith was getting us in the playoffs? When we beat the Texans? Was that when?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we actually thought we had a shot at the Patriots the following week. Yes, that's when we were little kids. Just like the Browns thought they had a shot in this game.
The Brownies, please.
The Brownies. We'll take a break. More with Tim Grunhard next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It wouldn't stay up. It would stay down. Yeah. It never froze in the up position.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking to Tim Grunhard. He's brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Grunny. So what do you think happens in this game with the Buffalo Bills?
You're just talking about that. I think you're going to see the exact opposite of what you saw in game week 6, where they didn't blitz. I'm talking about what you're going to see. The Bills didn't blitz one time. It was zero blitzes. Like the first time in, somebody said a stat earlier. I mean, years at not one blitz during the game. They played six, a lot of times five and a half, sometimes five guys in the box saying, listen, we are not going to let you guys throw the ball. We'll let you run it. You're going to beat us with the run. And they were close, but the Chiefs won that game. I think you're going to see the exact opposite. I think they're going to load the box up. I think they're going to blitz the hell out of the Chiefs. I think they're going to try to come after Mahomes now, especially now that he's wounded a little bit. I think they're going to come after him. And I was just telling Curtis, you know, and as a player, what you do is, you know, say out of the 100% of the film watching that you do during the week, 75% of that is usually the team. Like if you played that team earlier in the year, you're going to watch that game mostly because you want to see the guy you played against. You want to see his tendencies. You want to see how they line up to your formations. You want to see, you know, different things that they do and how you played against them. So, you know, I think that they're going to say, okay, well, the Chiefs think that we're going to come out and, you know, kind of be that vanilla team again, and I just don't think they're going to do that. So I think they're going to come after Patrick Mahomes, and just depending on how healthy Patrick Mahomes is, it could be a big mistake for Buffalo. I think all indications are that it will be because he does such a great job against the blitz. I think you'll see some big plays, and I think the Chiefs win this game a little bit with more of a little bit more room than they did against Cleveland. But if Patrick Mahomes is banged up and he's limping around and he can't get out of that pressure, then it could be a long game for the Chiefs too. So we'll see.
I don't think it'll be a long game for the Chiefs. We haven't had a long
I don't
game.
Either. I don't
know.
The
closest thing to a long game was that Colt loss last year, 19-13, and they were still in position to where they could have stolen it at the end. So,
I still like the Chiefs. Yeah, I like the Chiefs too. I think, you know, like I said, I thought last week was more worrisome for me than this week. The Bills come here. By the way, it felt like more than 16,000 people in the stands. I don't know what the official count was.
I thought it sounded like it,
too. Huh? Yeah.
I thought it sounded like it on TV,
it too. Looked, when I looked around, I was thinking, wonder how they're counting these people.
Tim, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Time for our Deli Fresh end-of-the-hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, what was the last year that Kansas was 4-3 or worse at the 7-game mark in league play? Brought to you by Good Sense.